Good morning and welcome. I don't know about you folks, but I got up this morning and I looked outside and I could see the sky. Clouds don't count as sky. It was lovely. I even saw a few stars. I was so excited. And I met a couple of people coming in who apparently are also not native Northwesterners, and they were also delighting in the absence of gloom and rain. So I'm sorry for you Northwesterners that are missing already your rain that you didn't, you know, you need it every day. I can do once a year is okay. We have several announcements to share with you this morning. The first one is to mention that we have a memorial service for Roy Naden next Sabbath afternoon at 3 p.m. here at the church. And in connection with that, Mindy, you need some help, so let's have you grab a microphone and let's see. Let me make sure it's on.
I think it's on.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have heard that Roy Naden was much beloved by... I've heard that Roy Naden was much beloved by many people in this church, and so we're expecting a much larger than usual turnout for his memorial service, and as such would really appreciate some help from the congregation in providing finger food after the service. I don't know if any of you read your weekly church email, but there was kind of a little blurb in there about it. There's a Google sheet where you can sign up to bring some finger food. You can also just email me directly. And so, like I said, we'd appreciate any extra help we could get since we're expecting maybe like 300 people. So, anyway, thank you in advance.
Thanks, Mindy. Thank you for all the work that you have put into it. So we might find a way to weave this into the sermon for the people who come in late. All right, Hans, I understand we got stuff going today. All right.
Sit. We're still working on that. So today... we are going bowling and skating in Linwood. If you would like to skate at 5, it's from 5 to 7. It's both skating and bowling, so whichever one you prefer, please come on out. It's going to be a great time. And my buddy here to my right, his name is Pinocchio, because one day he will be a real dog. I just want to thank everyone that helped me with Christmas, experienced my first Christmas ever, and first Christmas in Seattle, so I just want to thank everybody that took a part in that, and I just appreciate you all, and thank you for the dog. Have a happy Sabbath, everyone.
Keep it. Yes, one of the evidences of the life of Green Lake Church as we introduce people to Christmas. I know it's a shocking thing for some people, but we don't mind celebrating. The birth of Jesus, even. Wow, imagine that. It's good to have you around here, Hans. Yeah, it's good. Talking about celebration, I think today is our last Sabbath to enjoy the decorations, our Christmas decorations. So huge thanks to Kim and all the people who helped her with decorating the church for Christmas. It always looks so lovely, and this year, again, just beautiful. So we have enjoyed it. It will get put away for another year, and we will live in expectation for the next celebration. But thanks to Kim and all who participated in helping with the decorations here at the church. I think that's it for our announcements. And so in just a minute, I'm going to invite you to stand and greet one another. But just before then, I want to welcome those who are with us via the medium of electronics. Thank you for joining us through the live stream, and invite you to check in, look us up on Facebook, let us know that you are watching, and we appreciate your being with us that way. And now, I invite you to stand, greet one another, pass God's peace here in God's house. I'm going to invite you to find your seats. Two more brief comments before we go into worship. Many of you have gotten your pictures taken for the church directory. I think Gumi will be available again today after church in the church library. So if you've not yet gotten your picture taken for the church directory, I invite you to go to the library after church and get your picture taken there. And finally, I would like to welcome a special guest that we have with us today. Ji Young Lee is on the organ. Thank you for being here. And Wanda is taking a very, very well-deserved rest for the weekend after putting together Christmas programs for two different churches and all that goes with the holiday season. So, Ji Young, thank you for being here. And now, Ji Young at the organ will call us into worship with the morning hymn.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Almighty God, ruler of the nations, maker of heaven and earth, thank you for calling us into your presence and receiving us with your smile. We pray that you will hasten the day when all things far and nigh are ordered according to your goodwill, when swords are beaten into plowshares and spears are turned into pruning hooks and justice rolls down like the great river. Lord of our hearts, so shape and mold us that we may act as agents of your kingdom to bring hope and help and healing. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you listen to KUOW or King FM or any of those other kind of stations? Two of us, three. About now, if you've been listening, you've heard a lot of talk about pledge drives. I'm not going to ask you for a pledge. I'm just going to say it's getting to the end of the year, and we have to wrap up this year so we can start out not so far in the hole for next year. So if you have anything you want to put in the plate today for the church budget, generally, or for the specific part of what the church is doing you think really needs your help, dig it out now, put it in, it's already in the basket, put it in the envelope and send it on up. Deacons, please stand. Dear God, you know what we have and what we need and what we can give. Bring it to our hearts to bless your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Are you really glad school's going to start soon? Yay. Yeah, I say yay. Okay. So how many of you, big kids, all of you big, spent the night away from mom and dad? Ever. He did. She did. How about a whole week? Oh, wow. With grandma and grandpa? Okay, that's all right. So a long, 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 long time ago, when I was maybe your age, some people donated enough money to send me away to church camp, which I thought would be cool, but I was kind of worried too because I didn't know anybody there. So I was sort of excited, but sort of scared. And I went there, and you know what? There was fun things to do, and there were nice people, too. I didn't know anybody, but after 1 or 2 hours, maybe a day, I had friends, which is weird because I'm kind of shy, really. But I made friends, and the whole week wasn't so bad. And I kind of was sad to go home. That was the weird part. But it's nice to know that wherever you go, you can make friends, and they can help you, and you can remember to help other people when you see somebody else who doesn't have friends, right? Right? Okay. So this week, we are collecting in the blue buckets money for Alpha Nick Orphanage. That's a place where kids don't have any parents, and the other people are friends to them and take care of them. So grab a bucket, a big one or a little one, and go see how many coins and paper money you can pick up. You can carry 2 buckets if you think you need it. Lord of heaven, Lord all around us, and Lord within us, thank you so much for all your blessings this year. We have, of course, requests, which you've asked us to bring you. First, Julie, with her health issues, and Diana, which we miss her coming here. And we lay before you those as a group, but each of us has concerns for family and friends, fellow members of Green Lake, and our neighbors. They all I know you put them in each of our hearts. They have problems and losses, and it says addictions and mental health issues, physical issues, or just needs. They need you. They need care. Each of us, as the Lord leads you, pray for one or two or more of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading is from Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 19. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 19. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of kings, the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt.
Thank you. The New Testament reading is from Matthew 2, verse 13 through 15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
In the recent issue of the Adventist World, there's an article by Andrew McChesney, and he's talking about difficulties with immigration in Canada. He wanted to go to Canada. I don't remember if he must have flown there, and he arrived, and, you know, you figure you're an American, you just, you know, get your passport, everything's in order, it's done. He was shunted to a side room. And after he'd been there a while, somebody came in and asked him what he was doing in Canada. And he told them what he was there for, speaking at some church. And, you know, and finally they asked him, "Well, what do you know about?" And they named a date 20 years earlier. You know, "What do you know about May 13, whatever it was?" And he goes, "Oh, that." He had been a student at Walla Walla. He was a problem child. He had taken an airplane, and on an afternoon when he was in a bad mood, he had flown north until he ran out of gas and found a place to land and walked to a payphone to find out where he was and found out he was in Canada. This was not good. The police picked him up, put him in jail. His mom came and got him. That was all long ago. He was a different person then. He was a troubled young person. He's an editor of the Adventist Review now. You know, he's... Well, the Canadian officer said, "Well, I'm going to let you in." He stamped something. And Andrew asked him, he said, "Well, thank you. Will this happen every time I try to enter Canada?" He says, "I don't know." He said, "I'm letting you in now." But he said, "Once you're in our system, we never forget." Ooh. We never forget. How many of you would be willing for everything in the first 25 years of your life to always be remembered? Yeah, now some of you, I guess, would be fine with that. Some of you would be going, "Well, as long as only I remember." And some of you are going, "No, there's stuff even I don't want to remember. I don't want you to remember, and I don't want to remember." Just say that didn't happen. But it did. It's part of our story. And here we are, the people of God, called to do the work of God. And some cosmic computer somewhere remembers what you did May 13, 1973, or whatever. In the last couple of weeks, I've had conversations with a couple of women that are friends of Karen and me, and we know them professionally. And it was almost identical conversations with these two women. They are doing quite well in life. They're pleased with where they are right now. And both of them look at things they have done, people, persons they have been, and they go, oh, man. And we're talking about trivial stuff. So one of them I'm talking, she has reached the stage in life where she said, man, I've got to downsize. You know, I've just put everything I've had into this house. You know, she is a single woman, not by choice. She's done well, but it has been a fight. She's fought for everything she's got. And she talks about all the work she's put in this house, and it's way too big for her. And so she's thinking, man, I need to downsize. And then she was beating herself up because she had accumulated stuff because she had not downsized already. Finally, I interrupted her. I said, Pam, stop. I said, if I could give you one gift, if I could wave a magic wand, I would help you appreciate the woman you were 10 years ago. Because I knew you 10 years ago. You were a wonderful person 10 years ago. You were 10 years younger. You were at a different stage in life. And to sit and listen to you now, with the advanced maturity of 10 more years, scorning the person you were 10 years, it hurts. That was a lovely person I knew 10 years ago. And it's okay to change. And after you've changed, it's okay to still like that person you were. If you go to the Bible story, the way I grew up hearing it, I don't know if it was taught this way, but it's the way I heard it. It's the way I received it. And I'm not mistaken, it's really the way in those big blue Bible story books, I think this is the way the story is told there. So I don't think I was alone in this, especially in the Old Testament. These are perfect kids' stories because you've got the good guys and you've got the bad guys. And children, we want you to be the good guys. Don't be the bad guys. It's very simple. The Philistines, bad guys. Israelites, they're the good guys. The Egyptians, they're the bad guys. Israelites, they're the good guys. The Babylonians, people of the devil. The Jewish people, the people of God. And it was really nice, you know. And of course, most of us, our ambition is to be one of the good guys. This picture of a simple world divided between the bad guys and the good guys. It's not something imposed on Scripture. There are a lot of elements in the Bible story that present that picture. But there are also other elements in the story. You could even say there is a counter story. Some of you know the story of Samson. The way the story is told, Samson is the strongest man who ever lived. I'm sure he could pick up a cow in each hand and lift it off the ground. He didn't have a particular strong sense of judgment. You know, maybe that's not true. Maybe it's just that if you had met Delilah, you would understand why Samson was absolutely putty in her hand. Maybe she was just that charming. That's possible. But the story of Samson revolves around Philistines are the bad people. You have the seductress, Delilah. You have her friends who rip Samson off at the wedding feast. And over here you have Samson's parents, devout good people, trying to save Samson from those evil, conniving Philistines. And when the story comes to its tragic climax, Samson destroys the Philistine temple when it's full of Philistine dignitaries. And instead of the phrase, "they lived happily ever after," the way stories are supposed to end, this one ends, "so Samson in his death killed more Philistines than he did in his life." And that's the best thing you can say about Samson. Ah. Then we come to the story of David. And again, the story is about the Philistines, who are the bad guys, and the Israelites, who are the good guys. There's been endless conflict between these two groups. King Saul, the man who's king when David is a young man, he has had some notable success in battling the Philistines. But they remain a formidable enemy. And when David comes on the scene, you know, sort of the opening chapter in this story, Philistines are camped on one side of a valley. Their army. The Israelite army is camped on the other side of the valley. And the Philistines have a new champion, a giant of a man, the famous Goliath. And Goliath swaggers out to the front of the Philistine lines every morning and hurls insults and challenges across the valley at the Israelites. "Hey, boys and girls, come on out." And it goes downhill from there. And this goes on 6 weeks. David shows up. David is not a soldier. David is a shepherd boy. Well, by this time, he's not a boy, but he's a shepherd. The youngest in his family. The one that was left with the sheep as all the other brothers had gotten old enough to escape that job, and they were on to more important things. Some of them were now in the army. But David has been summoned by his dad from the care of sheep to go check on his brothers in the army. David arrives in camp just as Goliath, the Philistine giant, comes out, hurling insults. And if you were watching this as a movie, you kind of know. The minute you see Goliath, you know this is a big character in this. And when you see David coming, you know already, you know what's going to happen. Somehow in this movie, the movie's going to bring these two people together. And the Bible story, following the movie script, does just that. And David, using only a little sling, hurls a rock, hits the giant in the forehead, the giant falls over. Hallelujah. The Jewish people win. The Philistines lose. The Philistines are the bad guys. They are defeated. The Jewish people are the good guys. They win. Life is the way it's supposed to be. Fast forward a few chapters in the story of David. David is now running for his life, not from the Philistines, but from the Israelite army, because King Saul has gotten jealous of David and his fame and is out to kill him. And after a couple of narrow escapes, David and his band of men go to Achish, king of the town of Gath, the major Philistine town, and there they receive sanctuary. There would be no house of David in the Bible story if it were not for the kindness of the Philistines. There would have been no Bethlehem city of David for the baby Jesus to be born in if it had not been for the kindness of the Philistines. The angels on Christmas Eve would have had nobody to sing to. They would have had nobody to sing about, except for the kindness of the Philistines? But that's what the Bible story says. Fortunately, there were Philistines. They did their job. It was a brief period of time. I would love to tell you that from that day on, the Philistines and the Jewish people were friends. That did not happen. But at a critical moment in time, God used the Philistines, the Philistine king Achish, the Philistine town of Gath, as a place of sanctuary for David, the man of God. And Jesus, the son of David, is born. And immediately, where does he go? Not to Jerusalem. He goes to Egypt for sanctuary. The Holy Family goes to Egypt and they stay there a while because Judea, Jerusalem, the city of God, is ruled by a megalomaniac who killed members of his own family to preserve his power. Brothers, sisters, wives, mother. As I play with these stories in my head, two messages come to me. The first one is, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys? It gets a little messy. You know, are the Egyptians the good guys or the bad guys? We tell the story about Moses and Pharaoh, and in that setting, Pharaoh's the bad guy, he's the Egyptian, and Moses is the good guy, he's the Israelite. Except remember, Moses was trained in the schools of Egypt and was saved by the queen of Egypt. And right, it gets kind of messy, wonderfully messy. And you know what? If God could use the Philistines to save David and the Egyptians to save Jesus, I bet God could even use you for something. Isn't that amazing? God probably has some use for us. Whether we're Egyptians or Philistines or Babylonians or Israelites or people of Seattle, God needs us. He has work for us to do and calls us to it. Christmas, this Christmas story, or maybe this is the day after Christmas, we're running to Egypt, or we are Egyptians receiving those who run. We can tell the story either way, and both are true. We are called to provide hospitality. And God promises that through us, he will provide hospitality. Let's do our job. God is with us. one thing before I do the benediction. For many here, part of your serving is giving, and for a number of you, giving to this church is an important part of what you do. Given the fact that December 31 is on Monday, or is it tomorrow? I get mixed up. Oh, it's tomorrow. And some of you are used to the way church operated in the past, where, you know, you had lots of time to turn in stuff, and we could backdate receipts and things like that. That can't happen. So if you're planning to do giving, and you count on and taxation influences that, you need to make sure you do it before the end of tomorrow. And that probably means for most of you online. But I just want to remind you that we live in a different world from what some of us grew up in. December 31 is the end of the year without any flexibility. So if you're going to give in this year, make sure you do so by tomorrow. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.